Alhamdulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, as you hear that the khutbah began by khutbah al-haja, as usual, and then I said that today, inshallah, we're going to have three benefits from the ayah of Ramadan, ayah 185 of Surah Al-Baqarah. In that ayah where Allah Ta'ala mentioned the month of Ramadan, and He commanded every Muslim, male and female, to fast it once it is declared that the moon is sighted, except for those who have legitimate excuses. And the at the end of the ayah of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala mentioned three things: وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا أَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And to complete the period of fasting. The ulama have two different opinions in regard to the interpretation of this ayah. What is the meaning of iddah, or the period? Is it the lunar period, or it is the number of days? As if it is the lunar period, this would be completed by sighting the moon of Shawwal, or completing 30 days. That is called the lunar period. As for this opinion, the ulama say that it is not necessarily for the person to fast the 6 days of Ramadan to fast the missed days of Ramadan. As once he prays the Eid, he can fast from the next day, the 6 days of Shawwal. Even if he still have some days remaining from Ramadan, as if he was traveling or sick, or the woman if she was in menses or after giving birth. The other opinion says it is the number to complete the period, meaning the number of days that every Muslim has done. And this will mean that if the Muslims in this region fasted 29 days and then they sighted the moon, but you have fasted only 25 days because you were traveling or sick, or if she's a woman and she was in menses, then you did not fast, according to this opinion, you did not complete the period of Ramadan. And according to them, you cannot fast the 6 days of Shawwal up until you finish those days you have from Ramadan. This ulama took as an evidence for that the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 185, where Allah Ta'ala mentioned the word iddah twice. Allah Ta'ala in that ayah mentioned the word iddah twice. The first time, where Allah Ta'ala said, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. As for he who is sick or on a journey or travel, then عِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ, then number of days equal to this number of days that he did not fast in, to be completed after Ramadan. And the second place in the same ayah where Allah Ta'ala said, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, to complete the period. So they said that the iddah there and iddah here means the same thing, so you can't fast the optional fasting like 6 days of Shawwal up until you finish the obligatory fasting, which are the days that you did not fast in Ramadan. The other opinions, the scholars of the other opinions who said that regardless how many days you fasted, the important is the completion of the month of Ramadan according to the whole region, wherever you are living. So if they started the moon on the 29th and the following day was their Eid, so 29 days is Ramadan for that region. But if they did not sight the moon, then 30 days is Ramadan for that region. According to this group of ulama, they said it is to the jama'ah, to the community, not to the individual. Not to the individual. So if the community of the or the jama'ah, if the jama'ah sighted the moon or completed 30 days, then the following day would be the Eid, and from the day after, you can start fasting the 6 days of Shawwal and any optional days. And they took an evidence for that, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, which is authentic, where she radiallahu ta'ala anha said that I used to have some days of Ramadan that I missed because of the menses, but I don't do them until it is the next Sha'ban. And of course Aisha radiallahu anha used to fast optional days. No one would imagine that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha did not used to fast, because we have many plenty of narrations that she used to fast the long summer days, optional fasting. And of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have only Aisha as a wife. He had at the time 9 wives. So it means he will come to Aisha in her day once every 9 days. So it cannot be that she did not find a time to fast. Although she said because of the need of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we all know that, as we said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 9 wives at one time. He had in total 11. But at one time, he had 9. So Aisha was one out of 9. She had 1 day out of 9 days. She could have fasted the rest of the days. But this is a legislation for us, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is seeing here not fasting. He did not say nothing to her. So this means it is not obligatory to complete the days of Ramadan and then start optional fasting like 6 days of Shawwal. But of course it is better for one to precede, because you don't know when you die. You don't know when you die. And if you die with some days remaining of Ramadan, you'll be in trouble. Even if you have fasted 6 days of Shawwal, you still be in trouble, because those are obligatory days. So you need not to be in trouble by missing those days. This is in regard to the iddah, where it took me the first benefit of this ayah, where it took me the iddah. The second benefit, where it tukabbiru Allah ala ma hadakum. Here in this portion of this ayah, Allah mentioned 2 things. Takbir, Takbir Allah, And this is the dhikr. Takbir is dhikr. And ala ma hadakum, the guidance. Guidance is only from Allah Ta'ala. Guidance is only from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala blessed you and guided you to the haqq, which many people today missed. Other than the pure kuffar, we have more than 1.6 billion people who call themselves Muslims. Look at their methodologies, look at their ways of worship. They call Muslims. Where is Islam? Where is the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam? You are guided to it. This is a great ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala. He, Allah Ta'ala, is the one who guides to the truth. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. So he, Allah alone, who guides. Even his messenger, the most beloved mankind to Allah, Allah negated that he, Allah denied that he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, can guide. As Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ. You guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills. And that happens when Rasulullah wanted to give guidance to his uncle, Abu Talib, who died on kufr. And Rasulullah became sad. So Allah Ta'ala told him, you guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills. Naam? Although Allah Ta'ala said to him, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Indeed, you guide to the straight path. That is because guidance is of two types. One type of guidance called هِدَايَةُ الدَّلَالَةِ وَالْإِرْشَادِ, guiding to the direction, to the way. This is the duty of all messengers, prophets and scholars. They tell you this is the way. But they cannot change your heart. They cannot change your heart. See how many scholars in India. They tell people this is the way. But how many kuffar in India? More than Muslims. The kuffar there in India are more than Muslims in number. Why? Because this is not to mankind. Changing the hearts to accept, that is to Allah alone. But the other, Imam, this is the one type guidance, which is to show people the way. That's it. But to convert their hearts, to make their hearts accept the haqq, that is for Allah alone. He, Allah alone, the one who guides whom He wills. Naam? So Allah Ta'ala guided you. What do you need to do now? You do remembrance of Allah. Worship Allah. Why Allah choosing takbir out of all those different types of dhikr? Why didn't Allah Ta'ala say, وَلِتُسَبِّحُ اللَّهُ? Why Allah Ta'ala say, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ? Because once you finish the worship, the shaitan comes to you. And remember, in Hajj, Allah Ta'ala commanded with takbir. So takbir, the adhan, takbir. Takbir, when you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, this kills the arrogance, removes the arrogance in your heart. So you don't look to the people lower than you. You don't disdain, you don't say, I got it myself. And remember those two examples that Allah gave in the Quran. The example of Fir'aun, who said, and here are the rivers running beneath me. So Allah Ta'ala made it to run above him. Above him. And Qarun, his friend, Fir'aun's friend, who Allah Ta'ala gave him a lot of wealth. Qarun, when the poor people came to him and said, give us from what Allah Ta'ala gave you. He said, what Allah? I only collected it by my intellect, by my experience. That is what most of the Muslims say today, believe me. Believe me. Most of the Muslims say that today. Oh, I got it because I was excellent in the school. Oh, I got it because I got high scores. Oh, I got it because I'm a hard worker. Oh, I deserve it because this, because of that. And never say because Allah Ta'ala gave me that. Never. Very rarely you see Muslims referring the blessings and graces to Allah. Very rarely. They are very rare admit that it is only from Allah. Only from Allah. Look at that orphan who inherited billions and billions. How did he collect it? He was just a little boy. And Allah Ta'ala made him to inherit billions and billions of dollars. This little child, when he grew up, he says, I collected it by. That's a problem. So when you takabbir Allah, when you say Allahu Akbar, you kill arrogance. You remove the arrogance out of your chest, out of your... And you need to remove it out of your acts. Out of your acts. Some people, maybe they say that they are not upon arrogance, but their acts prove different. Look to their clothes, long beneath their ankles. And they claim that, oh, it's not arrogance. No, it is arrogance. It is arrogance. And it is haram. Look at them when they pray. They don't bow well. There is no any problem with them. There's no back pain or... But it's arrogance. They don't bend their backs. And many, many other forms. Look at them when they see a poor person coming towards them, how they turn their faces, like if they see nothing. And many, many other, you know, forms of arrogance that people who claim that they are not upon arrogance, indeed they are upon it. They are upon arrogance. So when you say this, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, this reminds you that you are only little. And as they say in the Arabic saying, they say, don't look to the people like if you are on a high mountain, on the tip of a high mountain, and they are low, they are lower. When you see them, when you are up, what do you see them? Very small, isn't it? When you go high, you see people very small. Okay, take the opposite position. How they are going to see you when you are high? Very little. They don't see you big as a mountain. They see you also little. So remember that. It's the fact. So this is the second benefit. The third benefit, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you might be grateful to your Lord. Allahu Akbar. This is a great worship that most of the people today are headless with it. They are not even giving any care to it. Where is the thankfulness in their sayings, in their actions? Where is the thankfulness in their wealth, in their time? Allah gave you plenty of time. Allah Ta'ala made you to work only 8 hours or less, and have income enough for you to live 2-3 months. What are you going to do with the remaining time? Why don't you serve your Lord? Why don't you use it in dhikr, in learning how to recite the book of your Lord? Why don't you use it in helping the poor, doing something beneficial? Look to the grace and the ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala gave you and your health. Allah made you strong, healthy. You can see, you can hear, you can talk, you can think. You can walk, you can carry. Where is the zakah of this? Why don't you do what Allah Ta'ala like from you to do with that? Where is it? That is very important, Ikhwan. That is very important. And many, many things that you can, yani, show the gratefulness and thankfulness to your Lord. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, said in a poem, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي نِعْمَةٍ فَرْعَهَا. If you are in a grace, in a blessing, then keep it safe. Keep it safe. How? إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي نِعْمَةٍ فَرْعَهَا فَإِنَّ الْمَعَاصِي تُذِيلُ النِّعْمِ. As disobedience removes this ni'am, remove these graces and blessings. They remove them. Because who is the one giving you these graces? Allah. Who you are disobeying and committing sins against? Allah. So think of it. وَدَاوِمْ عَلَيْهَا بِشُكْرِ الْإِلَهِ. And keep it safe continuously by being grateful to your Lord. فَإِنَّ الْإِلَهَ سَرِيعُ النِّقَمْ. As your Lord is your Lord's punishment is quick and fast and sudden. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, as in Surah Al-Nahl, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And remember when your Lord declared to all mankind, if you be grateful, I will increase you in your blessings and grace and wealth and health and children. I will increase you. Just be grateful. Allah doesn't want nothing from you. He is the one who gives everything. He is the one who owns everything. If you be grateful to your Lord will give you more and more. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ. But if you deny by your tongue, or deny by your heart, or even deny by your actions, meaning you don't worship your Lord correctly, you don't help the poor. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And once you deny it, know that my punishment is severe. Severe. And here Allah Ta'ala directed us how to be grateful to Him by actions. As here Allah Ta'ala said to Dawood, one of the prophets and most beloved human to Allah. He, Allah Ta'ala, said to him and his family, and his family's all prophets like Sulaiman and their children, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. اعملوا. Act, O people of Dawood, O family of Dawood. Act. Shukra. As a form of gratefulness. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Look at that. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. As for only little number of my creation, my slaves, who are grateful. Very little number who are grateful. The majority are greatless to their Lord. Even if they say by their tongues, but by their actions, no, they don't do it. They don't say it. Subhanallah. I saw some rich people. They have a big palace here in Jeddah. Big palace. There is a masjid, big masjid next to them, few steps from their house. But he built a small mosque inside his palace, that not anyone is allowed in. What is that? Isn't this arrogant? What is that? Even in worship, now he is thinking that he is grateful. He is worshipping. La akhi, you are not. You can't be grateful by this way. You have to come with the people and pray with them. You have to come with the people. Unless if you are sick, and he is sick, who thinks this way is really sick. So, be humble, be grateful to your Lord, and obey your Lord, and act as He subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you May Allah Ta'ala accept from us all and remember your Muslim Ummah, how big it is today. But as the Prophet ﷺ said, they are only like the foam of the flood. Foam of the flood. Benefitless. Benefitless. Look at it today. 1.6 billion. We can't even do nothing. As one of the du'at said, if this 1.6 billion were to be frogs and I don't know what you call the sound of the frog. You know, the rock, like that. If we just spit on the kuffar or the enemies, like the Yahud in Palestine, we would have flooded them. But unfortunately, 1.6 million billion are up on nothing. When you put them on the scanner or on the screen, you only can hold very few of them as real Muslims. Majority are either upon wrong belief, wrong methodology, or upon arrogance, upon ignorance. That's the situation of our ummah today. What do we need to do to correct it? First, to go back to Allah. Ask Allah, oh Allah, help us to be good Muslims. Help us to help the others. Help us to learn our deen. Help us to make us teach our deen to the others. Help us to sacrifice for your sake. And then you go ahead with these things that you ask Allah Ta'ala to help you with. May Allah Ta'ala help us all to act upon what pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. If there is any question. On part talk, you can raise your hand. Hanif, go ahead. Hanif here says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. Ameen. And you too. Is it permissible to make ishara, or motion, or move the hand to affirm the haqiqa of the sifa of nuzul or istiwa of Allah? No, we cannot do that unless if it is if it is proved that Rasulullah ﷺ done it. The brother is asking, can we, when we talk about one of the attributes of Allah as Nuzul, as descending, and the last third part of the night, can we act that by hand? No, we cannot, unless if it is authenticated from Rasulullah ﷺ that he did it. And also, the same thing with the istiwa, settling on the throne. We cannot act it, because we don't know how it is, unless if it is proved from Rasulullah ﷺ. Wallahu a'lam. Stretch their leg to?
Like
facing the Quran? I know, I understand what you mean, but I mean their legs, their leg, foot.
They'll stretch like this.
To the Quran? Yeah, but towards the Quran.
Mm.
Not to the side.
Yeah,
not to the side.
Yeah. Like this, they'll stretch the floor.
I understand. Yes, I understand. This is the Quran. Mm. Do they stretch their legs like this?
Keep
I understand. I'm talking about the direction, not the distance.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Like this or like this?
Like this?
Yeah. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not from the respect. But if it is any far away, that's then inshallah no problem. But stretching the leg towards the Qibla, no problem. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه جزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته إياكم الدوام الحمد لله it was good ما شاء الله no nothing at all very very easy. But this hadith that emphasizes the two rak'ah after the sunrise and that equals the reward of Hajj and Umrah is not authentic.
Okay. So the only really benefit is just follow the sunnah of the Rasulullah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, shukran.
Barakallah.
Next week,
inshallah, you're here? Yeah, inshallah. Bismillah.